And I'll tell you just a little bit about myself. I came to Georgia in 1985, grew up in mostly Maryland, but went to school, Virginia Tech, got a forestry degree, no jobs. Middle of the 80s, it was bad. The only company that was hiring was Continental Can, and they've got a paper mill here in Augusta, or had. They've been bought out a couple times. So I ended up in Georgia. About 2-3 years later, met Kelly. She's from Indiana. We met in Wrens, in Wrens, Georgia. And one of my bosses prophesied. He didn't realize he was prophesying. He said, "Wiersma, when we move you to Wrens, you're going to get married." I said, "What are you talking about?" Everybody we put in Wrens gets married because there's nothing else to do. And it was 9 months from the time I was there. I met Kelly. 10 months later, we were married. And it felt like several years because we saw each other every day after work. You know, it was, there really was nothing else to do. So, but what we're talking about today is the sound of God's triumph. Where's my shofar? Do y'all know what that comes from?
Yeah,
a kudu. A kudu. Yeah. Very good. I shot one of those things. I'm gonna. That's what I told.
Did you get the horns?
I did. Wow. I've got them. I got the whole head.
Wow.
I got it down to here, hanging on a wall.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I said that just for you. Yeah, and I was thinking, and I'm gonna get another one day too, and I'm gonna convert its horns into. Go ahead, just let it rip. They're on the head still. Oh yeah! Thank you, Lord. If we were in Israel, thank you. If we were in Israel 3-4 thousand years ago, and the priest wanted a triumphant sound, that's what you'd hear. Only it'd probably be about 50 of them, all at the same time, all with little slight intonation differences, all melting together. I was asking the Lord how I was gonna go with this, the sound of God's triumph in all things. That sounds redundant to me because God is triumphant all the time. It's the sound of God's triumph. But I knew that Nancy worded it that way probably for a reason. And what the Lord wanted me to do is first talk about sound. And I know we had this in science class years ago. I'm going to go over it real quick. Sound. These windows don't open, do they? Man.
Maybe we could turn it up higher, maybe.
Yeah, I'll just.
I don't know.
That's all right. I'll deal with it. If y'all are okay, I'm okay. What is sound? Being a forester, I hear that joke all the time about if a tree falls in the woods, does it make a sound?
You know? Somebody can hear it.
If somebody's there to hear it. I've been standing in the woods tallying a plot, doing what foresters do, and I've, in a perfectly clear day, no wind like this, I've heard a tree fall.
Mm-hmm.
It does happen. But there has to be an eardrum there to hear it. Why? Because sound is not a particle flying through the air to hit you. It's molecules, atoms, bouncing off each other. It's right here, but it knocks into this one, and it knocks into that one, and that one, and that one, and it causes a wave. Okay? They're a bunch of atoms close together and some a little farther apart. Close together, farther apart. That's what sound is. It could be in water. Water molecules knocking into each other. Boom, 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 boom. Like dominoes. Chain reaction. Sound travels much faster in water because there's more molecules close together. In air, they're spread apart. There's spiritual significance to everything in the natural. the natural, what we live in for the time being, is not just a copy, but it's a type and shadow of spiritual things. I was going to say this later on, but I'll say it right now. You know, there's a scripture that says that when we pray, well, Jesus said this is how you pray, on earth as it is in heaven. We don't think about what that's really saying. On earth, it's already like this in heaven. This is how it's going to be on earth. Sound, I'm sure, sound is not in heaven. It's not like sound here, okay? But our sound, what we hear the Spirit saying to us in these meetings, the Lord's been speaking to you, or whether it's the shofar, the kudu horn, or whether it's the music, we're hearing things that in the spirit realm, the Lord would be speaking to us, okay? But we're not always perceptive. We're not always interpreting it that way. It's beautiful music. It's, you know, my spouse talking to me. But do you see what I'm saying? Okay. So sound is the vibration of particles, whether it's water, air, whatever. And something I want you to think about, what would be God's sound in the earth? You three ladies, stand up there for a second. I want to show you something. Yep, you're going to get used. All right, and I'm going to touch your shoulders. That's all I'm going to, okay? So let's say y'all are out there, and during your day, you're out there. You might be at the store. You might be with your family, your kids, whatever, okay? The Lord gives you something. Boom. Boom. Mm-hmm. It's transferred. Mm-hmm. That's what sound does. Boom, 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 boom. Mm-hmm. Boom, 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 boom. Now, okay, you can sit down. So relate that to the Lord tells you something, and you're at the grocery store in the vegetable department, okay? That seems to be a good place. And you've been saying, Lord, who am I supposed to minister to? You know, I got ordained. I'm a minister now. And we're going to go out this weekend, and we're going to go door to door, and we're going to talk to people. And we're going to invite them to church, and that's how I'm supposed to minister to people. What if the Lord intended you to minister to whoever you happen to be next to, whoever that day? And that sound of the Lord is he gives you something, and boom, you connect with that person. Now, they might not be in a state of receiving right then. You know, molecules, atoms vibrate. They have a sound. I won't get into all that. But they vibrate at a frequency. We vibrate at a frequency. Sometimes it's like this Monday morning. And Friday it's like, oh, I'm ready, you know? So you give somebody a little nod or a smile or something, they might not receive it right then. But you don't know what an hour later they're thinking about what you did or what you said. It might have been a few words. You might have given them a word of knowledge. And all of a sudden they activate. They tell three or four people. Do you remember math? You remember exponents? When you raise something to the something power? Well, that's what you are. The Lord takes what you do and he raises it exponentially. This is what the pyramid scheme is based on, okay? Business pyramid scheme. You know, you get four people involved in something. They get four people. They get four people. All of a sudden, you've got like 100 customers, 100 willing, you know, clients. Well, this is what the Lord's pyramid plan is for the kingdom. So you get something, boom, 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 domino, domino, domino. Do you realize that something you could tell somebody in Kroger's could be multiplied 1,000 times within just a week. You think about it, especially with Facebook, you know, Twitter, the internet. So we are God's sound. We are His sound. We are one of His sounds in the earth, okay? All right, think about that. All right, I wanted to, let's see if I can do this right here. Bear with me just a second. My daughter taught me how to do this today. If I can find it. Let's see. She said it was in. I might need some help. Where is that? Let's see. Go to control panel. No. You know, they change Windows every off so often, and then I can't find stuff. I wanted to play this music. Let's do this one. Ha! There it is, Windows Media Player. I can't ever remember what they call all these things. And my whole family, I converted all them over to Apple. So if I'm at home, I'm on their Apple. Apple does not work for business. You have to have a PC, pretty much, unless you're in the arts of some kind. So I have to use PC at work, and it's confusing. Let's see if this is going to work. Yeah, that works pretty good. What does that sound like? Does that sound triumphant? Can't you imagine those angels lined up on both sides of the road? And you're walking in, you know, 10 abreast, in step, walking in. And they're watching you. They're honoring you. That's a little taste of what it's going to be like, you know. If you want more of this, watch Ben-Hur. My favorite movie. That's my favorite. If you want to hack into my whole business when it says, you know, one of those pop-ups, what's your favorite movie? Type in Ben-Hur. You'll get all my stuff. So, we are supposed to be triumphant. And because the Lord is triumphant all the time. He is never not triumphant. Okay? Right? All the time in heaven, it's like this. All the time, except when it's silent. You know? At the end times, remember it says in Revelations, and it was silent for half an hour. And all the other times, I just believe it's something like this. And when those angels are being sent out by legions down here, I imagine it's glorious. No wonder her brother said, "I'm not going back." You know? And you know, if you were standing in that, and just this is just a worldly taste of it, you know? I mean, just multiply that times a million exponent, you know? It would take a strong-willed person to say, "I'll go back." I mean, it would take a strong person. All right, let me see if I can. I'd like to just play that, but we'll stop it right there. Somebody read for me 2 Corinthians 2:14. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Anybody have that? Whoa, what does that mean? So does somebody have that in another version?
Yeah,
NIV or NAS, NSA, ATB. I was making those up. Anybody? Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph and in Christ. Oh, my goodness, in that procession, he's going to be up front. He always leads us in triumph and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Whoa. Diffuses, spreads it out. Doesn't keep it bottled up like, well, I just don't feel like going over there and talking to that guy at the gas pump right now. I can see he's having a heart. I'm talking to myself. You know, I'm busy, I'm tired, I'm wet, I want to get home. He wants to diffuse his knowledge. His knowledge is not like what we think knowledge is. His ways are not like our ways. His knowledge is of the kingdom. And we are that conduit to spread it out. I just saw a picture of that shofar and of the sound going through there and spinning. When it comes out, that's like us. We are like a shofar, and his sound is piping through us. And so that domino effect, boom, 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 grocery store, gas station, somebody's house, nursing home, boom, 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 spread, 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 spread. I'm talking to myself again. If you don't feel good, then just go over there and just say a nice little word, you know? Just do that. You never know. You don't have to go there and preach to them. In fact, I recommend you don't do that. You know, when we're real to people, you don't have to go hand them a card and say, you know, I'm so-and-so, and we're having meetings over here the other night. I've got some rental houses, and I've really been amazed. I just haven't been doing this very long. And I've been amazed what the Lord's done here lately. He had me put the ads on Craigslist and mentioned Fort Gordon. I just mentioned it in the ad. I got one call 10 minutes later. I'm watching Andy Griffith. I just hit the button. I get a call 10 minutes later. Is your house still available? I'm looking at the phone like, you know. Another call, I'm in Hawaii, I'm getting transferred to Fort Gordon. What the Lord has done, he's used that. You know, I got to rent to people. And we said, hey, we have home group meetings on Tuesday night. We want you to come. We didn't give them a chance. They're new to the area. They don't know anybody. They're young. They don't know any better. So and so they come, you know. And we just love on them, and we just be real. We don't, you know, you don't have to lather on all that icing, you know. Just be yourself. So that fragrance is going to diffuse through us, and that's part of the triumph. What does triumph mean? Where does that word come from? Triumphal, triumphant. We've probably heard. A triumph was when the Roman legions, and there were several, and the emperor would send them to different parts of the world to exude his influence. The Romans would say, kind of like America, we're not interested in taking over other countries, but we're kind of worried about this one that touches us right here. And we're a little more worried. They raised an army up. We're going to go over there. Boom. They defeated them. They would come back in a triumphal ceremony to honor those troops. The whole city of Rome would turn out for that processional, for that triumph. That's what it was called. So that gives you a little more idea of what the Lord's talking about, how we're to be that sound, how we're to be with, let Him lead us in triumph every day. Now, you may get up, you may be fighting a cold, your husband kicked the dog, your kid forgot to feed the cat, everything's falling apart, but you can still be walking in triumph, you know. It'll come, you know. You just don't react right then to the circumstances. Those guys who were coming back in triumph, some of them were all tore up. You know, they'd been away from their families for years sometimes. They were very disciplined. And that's something I didn't plan to get into. But the closer we walk with the Lord, more and more you won't say, I can't. I can't. You'll say, well, He's with me. Well, I did that last week. I'll try to do that this week. Until you're saying, I can do that. I can do that in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I know I can do that. I was listening to Evelyn say her parents told her, reach farther than you can, and then reach a little further. I like that. Yeah. That's God. That's what He wants us to do. Because it's not us anyway. All we have to do is that faith of reaching. You know, He turns on the afterburner. He shoots you up there. You say, how did I get here? You know, you've all had that happen. We go through difficult times. When I was 19, I was kind of getting burned out on college. I didn't know it, but my mom, has good ideas, but who is very forceful. She worked with these nuclear physicists in Washington, D.C. A lot of them had gone to Virginia Tech, gone through the ROTC program. They co-opt. So you work, you go to school. You work, you go to school. You're never off. You're doing one or the other. But when you graduate, you've got all this experience. And they told her, hey, the forestry guys were doing that too when we were there. So she said, Danny, you need to check out this co-op program. Long story short, I ended up co-oping, went off to South Carolina when I was 19 years old, showed up in Marion, South Carolina by myself, and I had, I don't know, maybe $200, $250. But hey, I was going to go to work for a forestry company. I'd been in the woods a lot in my life, Boy Scouts, Eagle Scout, all that. I knew how to take care of myself in the woods, but I had never worked in forestry. I really probably didn't even know what forestry was. So I get there, and you have to rent an apartment. You have to put a deposit for gas, this, that, and that. Next thing, you know, I didn't have any money. But it's okay, you know, because I'm working. And so the first week goes by, and at the end of the week, there wasn't a paycheck. And I thought, they must be on the bi-monthly plan. So I can tough it out. I can into next week. So, and it was this time of year. It was nasty. We were in water sometimes up to here, freezing cold. Briars, golly, the coastal plain. I mean, I'd write home. I said, Mom and Dad, I can stick my hand out. And I cannot see my hand.
Wow.
It's so thick. I remember telling them, if I had a cinder block and threw it, it would never hit the ground for the bushes and briars. So it was different than Maryland with all the oak trees and pretty, and you could just ride your bike through them. So the second week, no paycheck. I was like, oh, my goodness. I had just a few dollars left. I went to the grocery store. I bought a restaurant-sized can of chicken soup, that big. I bought some peanut butter and loaf of bread. I don't know if I had jelly or not, but I bought what I could that I could maximize the food value. And I was stretching it out. and I was going to work. I didn't have a lunch. Now, if somebody offered me a lunch, well, I took them up on it. If my landlady said, would you like to come over for dinner tonight? I was there. I was. But the third week, you know, it was gone. And I was 19. I was too shy to say anything. Well, and I just say this to say, that was what a little bit of a hard time. And we've all been through tough times, hard times. You know, you get stretched. But I was standing on the promises. I knew I was going to get paid sometime, but it was getting kind of tight. And the Lord sent my landlady over to my apartment just to look around, see how this guy was doing, you know. And she's like, there's nothing in there. Well, she called my boss and told him. So he calls me into his office the end of that week. Dan, do you need some money? And I was like, well, you know, I'm out. And I said, when do we get paid? That was the door opened up. He said, well, we get paid once a month. And I was like, oh, my goodness. I'd be crawling by then. He said, would you like me to loan you some money? And I said, yeah. So after work, we went to his bank, and he was getting ready to get out of the car, and he said, well, how much do you want? And I'd never heard that before. I thought, well, I didn't know. I said, well, what can I get? He said, how about I get you $150? I said, yeah, that'll be good. And back then, $150 was $150. So, but the Lord really stretched me in that time. And that's what I was getting to. Sometimes, you know, you really have all intents and purposes to be that sound for the Lord that day and that week and that month. And something stretches you. But you know what? It's still there. It's there. Okay? It might be just kind of spread out. But the time's coming. It's going to catch up. Boom, 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 boom. And each of us are going to go through those things. I guarantee you, anybody that we counsel, I don't paint them a bed of roses. They're not. But you're going to have a much lovelier, smoother, desirable way of getting through it with the Holy Spirit. You all know that. I'm preaching to the choir. But I'm just saying how that sound, even though it's diluted, okay, because we're going through a hard time, it's going to concentrate again. But it's those times that are most difficult when you're going to grow the most.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
That's the times you fall back on for that extra oomph when you need it. You know, the Lord took me through that. When things all rosy and the guy you really liked asked you out for a date, and, you know, you had this beautiful baby, and, oh, it is perfect. You know, there's no deformities. You know, all that, you know, you're just rocking along. You're just riding down river on the float. Everything's wonderful. It's when you hit those boulders, you hit a log, tips you off, you go under for a little bit, you're looking for air, grabbing something, that's when you find out what you're really made of. And that's what the Lord's after, okay? No, he's not the author of death and confusion. He just uses that to grow us. So, Satan falls into it all the time. He's just using them. Okay. Something I didn't bring up before, I like to tell my kids this, they hate to hear it, but that's what parents are for sometimes. For stand up, honey.
Because I said so.
Yeah. I try not to say that. I haven't said it much, but I heard that all the time growing up. All the time. There were three of us boys, and we were... From me to the last one was only 26 months. Every 13 months, she was having a boy. She lost two boys in front of me, and she said, after three boys made it, she said, evidently all I can have is boys. That is it. She had gray hair when she was 30 years old. She grew a lot. But for a law of physics is for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. If I push, she's coming back, you know, boom, back, and comes towards both ways. So there's always going to be a yield. You plant corn in the ground, something's going to happen, okay? It's either going to sprout, and if it doesn't have root, it's going to wither and die. Or if it's got good soil, it's going to grow up, and it's going to produce 100-fold. But there is a reaction, all right? Now, that is a type and shadow of what's in heaven. That's the natural law. So when a little meteorite hits the earth, boom, it might make just a little bitty crater. It might burn up, but still there's a reaction, okay? You can sit down. You did good. So when the Lord uses you to give something out and you think, gosh, that didn't go the way I thought. Oh, man, I messed it up. No, there is always a reaction. There is always fruit if it's good seed that's sown. There could also be bad fruit if there's bad. There's a reaction always. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. That's something to keep in mind. All right. Let's see, what else? We are his workmanship. We are his sound, if you will. And we can affect those around us by sounding. What we hear, what we see, what we feel, taste, it's sounding. When we spread the smell of his wisdom, that's the fragrance that was Paul was talking about, that fragrance of his knowledge, that fragrance of who he is, spreading it on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 18:18. Does somebody have that? Matthew 18:18. All right, shout it out.
Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
Aha! That comes into play. All that's connected. If you keep your Jesus in a box, if you're in the last session we heard, you know, take my little Jesus out, kiss him, put him back in the box. You know, if he's bound up on earth, if he's loosed on earth, if that sound that you could be that day, if it's stifled, it's bound in heaven. There's a connection. There's a spiritual connection. Our tongue is a powerful weapon. It's creative, a creative force. And see, that's just what sound does, you know, that moving, that particle that's us, we don't have to go around the world and go. A lot of us will, like Paul, like Peter. But when you are affecting those around you and they're affecting you, and there's that, you're bouncing into each other. There's that action I'm talking about in the spiritual realm. And we know there's going to be an equal and opposite reaction. Then it's, if you can just see like a shock wave, you know, if you've seen a picture of a nuclear bomb going off and you see first this shockwave go whoop, 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 and then the explosion coming up. But you know, that shockwave is what has such a detrimental effect on a lot of things. It can't handle, your body cannot handle the air pressure, which is 14 PSI at sea level. You can't handle it jumping up to 70 in like a millisecond. Your organs just be destroyed. A lot of the sailors in World War II or in any war, they're in the water and, you know, their ship was sinking and another torpedo hit that boat. Just the shock of that water around them moving from here to here so fast, they were dead. Your organs can't take it. But just as mightily, that in the spirit realm, the force of the word of the Lord, of love affecting all around it, the enemy can't handle it. He's not only just confused, but those demons are just set in disarray. It's so powerful, it's so sudden, it's just a shock. I don't know what I was saying. I didn't even have that. It just came out. So maybe, if that's what you're getting.
That's what I'm talking about. There's a spiritual force, communication, and you react to that.
Okay, I see. Yeah,
that's,
I see what you're saying.
Verbal.
Right. The activation of a gift,
yes.
A gifting.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's why it takes, we can't take it all in at first, because it's kind of a shock to our natural mind, because it's spiritual. Boom! You know? And then we have to absorb it. Our spirit man is saying, yeah, bring it on. Bring more. Uh-huh, I can take it. Your natural mind is saying, whoa, I need to get in neutral here. Let the spirit take over so you can run with it. But that's, that, you know, if you clap your hands really loud, you know, you felt that,
yeah,
probably in you. But you do like this, you know, or, you know, you had to listen really close. And that's like that triumphal entry, the music, you know, it stirred you up, you know, power. There's power in when we get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Where do they get the word dynamite from? Dudamis. Power. Whew. You're no longer the same. You've been impacted, and from then on, you're going to impact everybody around you. Just like a shockwave.
Collateral.
Yeah. Collateral damage to the enemy. In every direction. And you know, we think in three dimensions. If you're ever into sci-fi, they talk about the fourth dimension. That's mind-blowing. Which way do you go when you've already gone in three? And now they even talk about the fifth dimension. Well, they're going into the spiritual realm, but they don't know what they're talking about. They're trying to understand it in the natural mind. But when you receive that impartation, and yes, it affects your world in three dimensions here, but also that next dimension, the spiritual realm. Bam. All of a sudden, things start to shift. We don't see it, but the road gets a little clearer, because the enemy's having to get out of our way. Either it's out of fear or it's just out of the shock. Boom, 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 moving. You know, it might be that your washing machine runs an extra year, something in the natural. It might be that somebody's real nice to you and her plane ticket. Oh my gosh, we got a testimony like that. We had an opportunity to go to Alaska and about 10 years ago and take our four kids with us. We got tickets for $500 a piece, round trip from Augusta.
Wow.
Amazing. Just Oh, okay. We don't tell our kids. Kelly packed their clothes. For 2 days, they're like, Mom, where's my favorite shirt? I can't find it. I don't know, honey. Had it in bags, put it in the back of the truck where they couldn't see it. Told them we had to go to Augusta. Do we have to go? We don't want to go. We're going to go see Fred and Renee. They're going to be at the airport. We're going to send them off. So we get to the airport. We said, hey, I took out my video camera and I'm filming them. I said, hey, what would you think if we went to Alaska today? And they were like, their eyes got bigger and bigger. You mean right now? Right now. It was life-changing for them. And then Renee's whispering in my ear, or Kelly, I can't remember, Dan, get over here. I'm like, man, I'm filming this. This is neat. Get over here. Get over here. I go over there to the desk. Sir, we don't have any record of your tickets. What? I went from here to here. And I was like, okay, hold it together. You know, what do you mean? Well, sir, they're not here. They go look and they said, you know, there was a problem with your credit card. It has a limit on it. It was a debit card. It wasn't really credit. It had a $400 limit. They said, our computer's been calling you every day for a month, and it won't get through. Oh, yeah, we had that block on your phone where telemarketers can't get through. Couldn't get through. And we're like, she said, I'm sorry, sir. All the seats are taken. It's full. So this is when you dig deep. I mean, you just pump the kids up, you know? I'm still filming. And, like, I was just in shock. I was like, isn't there anything you can do? And, of course, the little teller, you know, she's saying, you know, what you'd expect. Sir, I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do. There are no seats. The manager comes over. He says, what's going on? And she explained it to him. I told him. He said, let me see. He gets on there. He says, yep, I see the problem. He said, do you have a credit card? I said, yeah. I pulled it out. He said, give it to me. He started running every ticket one at a time through a credit card now, not the debit. One at a time. He put us in the emergency exit seats. He put us in aisles, wherever you're not supposed to have anybody. Kids, too. Put the kids there. He said, now look, this is what's going to happen. 6 flights now, 3 flights up, 3 flights back. He said, every single flight, the stewardess is going to come up to you and say, sir, I'm sorry, your kids can't sit there. He said, what you do is you tell them, yes, I know. And she's going to have to ask for volunteers to get people to switch. He did that. The Lord did that 6 times, up and back. We got on that plane, and he gave it to us for $500 a ticket, too. It would have been probably $1,200 or $1,300 a ticket. He gave it the same price. That's why Evelyn's story was striking a chord. I said, yeah, I've seen that happen. I've seen that happen. Those kids got on there. They thought it was 6 Flags because they'd never been on a plane. People are looking at them. They're screaming and hollering, woo, we're taking off. You know, they're feeling the power. Woo, they're still, you got to sit down. Hey, you kid there, you got to sit down. Put on your seatbelt. It was something. But I'll be able to tell that story for the rest of my life, what the Lord did, because, and we were shattered for about 10 minutes, and he said, you know what, they're hanging tight. He brought us right back. Woo! It was amazing, amazing. And that's what he wants to do all the time, if we give him enough time. You know, sometimes we're a little too hasty because for a second it feels good to fall apart or to just throw that burden on somebody else, whoever's nearby. You know, we want to get down and wallow and have a little pity party. But each time you tough it out, you stretch it out, you get a little stronger, a little stronger. We have all been through really bad situations, emotionally, physically. All of it is a training ground. Each time you tough it out, you get stronger. The next time, the next thing you know, the next time, now you're triumphant, now you're affecting the people around you. Why did Jesus say, the meek shall inherit the earth? I had a college professor, his name was Goldstein, so he's probably Jewish descent, and statistics class, he gets up there and he writes, we were talking about the theory of probability, and that was almost 30 years ago, I'll never forget it. He writes, the meek shall inherit the earth. And he says, class, we're going to talk about theory of probability. Now, what chance is there of that happening? He was using that scripture as an example of no way, that there was zero probability that that would happen. But what was Jesus saying when the meek, what does meek mean? It does not mean weak. It's more like humble, patient, endurance. Those guys that are winning those endurance races, if you notice, marathoners or those guys in Africa that'll run 50, 100 miles. When I ran, I remember hearing the story back in the 80s, they brought this guy over from Nairobi. They wanted to see how he'd do in an American marathon, 26.2 miles. And he did okay, but he was like in the top 5%. But when he crossed the finish line, he kept running. And they're like, where are you going? They had to run him down and stop him, say, no, it's over. He said, no, too short. He was expecting 50, 100 miles. You know, now those guys are about that big around, you know, they're about that tall. But endurance-wise, there's nothing tougher on earth. Amazing what they can put their body through. And spiritually, that's what we are. The Lord is training us up from a half mile to a mile, a marathon, and beyond. That's that triumphant spirit that says, I've been through all of this, floods, water, deaths, life's torments. I'm still running for the prize. That's what Paul said. And when you get to the end, you'll be able to say, I finished the race. I have finished the course. I've run a good race. That's what we're going to be like. That's where we're all headed. That's why we're here today. So many times we get caught up in doing what other people do. We see a Christian, a minister who we admire, and there's nothing wrong with that. And we say, you know, I want to be like them. I'm going to do like them. No, that's not what the Lord wants you to do. Amen. Yes, you can use them for encouragement. But he wants you to hear what he's saying. And I was listening to a 12-year-old boy, no, a 9-year-old boy on YouTube this morning when I was looking for some of this stuff. A 9-year-old boy who is in college, and he is going to publish a book on how to make calculus easier for people to understand. He was teaching astrophysics. I think he turned 10 while he's in college. And something he said caught my ear. His parents thought he was autistic, had autism. Is that when they move and they just don't seem to, can't concentrate? Well, they thought he had that. His parents were told he had that. Do you know what was going on? He was so in tune to one thing. He said he would see a shadow and see it moving And then he'd look, say, there's the light that's causing that. He'd look at the light. And, oh, well, that's causing reflection. And he's back again. He's back, he's back, he's back. And he was here and there, here and there. He had all these talents, but they were so spread out, diffused. They hadn't been concentrated. Well, his parents, thankfully, they had really good teachers that said, work with them. Spend, you know, 40 hours a week if you can get enough people, you know, do 2-hour shifts, you know, work with them. And he's, and now he's the same kid. It's just that's what was locked up in him. I'm not saying that's in every special ed case. But what he said was when he was put in a special ed class, he wasn't learning anything. They couldn't teach him anything. Well, his mind is just going 1,000 times a second because he's burnt. He's got all this energy. He wants to learn. And so he starts thinking of things. His mom said when he was 1 year old, he was emptying out the Cheerio box, and he was playing with the Cheerios. And you know what he was doing? He was not only counting, he was trying to come up with a formula to figure the volume of that box, how many it would take to fill up that box.
Wow.
Yep. And I'm saying that for all this for a reason. But he said, quit trying to learn the way other people want you to learn. Listen on your own. Now, it spoke volumes to me spiritually. Instead of trying to be a copycat, okay, that was good for a while. Set that aside, and now listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying on your own. And he gave the example, this 10-year-old kid now, and he explained how Isaac Newton, who, because of him, that's why we have science today, he came up with the law of gravity, he came up with this, he came up with that. Why? Isaac Newton was in college during a plague, and they shut the college down. So he's sitting in his room for 2 years. They didn't teach, and his mind's just going, and he's figuring all this stuff out, figuring all this stuff out. And so I just say, spiritually, instead of listening to the sound that somebody else is making, that's their sound. That's what the Lord is piping through them. We're to listen for our sound. And I know many of you do because I've seen you at operation. I've seen your ministries. But maybe we need to take it up a notch, put a little more juice, unhook the 12-volt, hook up 24. All right? And see what happens. This girl is a powerful singer. You know who I'm talking about? Kim Walker. Happy Day. This is what I see us like when we get connected and we start flowing in that river. We're flowing. And we're saying, you know what? I'm going through a lot of stuff today, but I'm going to let the Lord flow through me. Yes. I'm going to let His sound flow through me. No matter what, I'm floating down that river, and yeah, I hit a log, I hit a rock, I went over a waterfall. I'm underwater for 10 seconds. It's okay. You will come back up. Hold your breath. Wait, wait. Don't freak out. Here you come. Happy day. Boom, you pop up. Everything's good. Washed our sins away. Yeah. Does anybody want to get prayed for? Anything they want specifically? You want to? Come on.